In music, the term maestro is one of the greatest honours that can be bestowed on someone. It indicates that the performer is something akin to a genius. When it comes to Celtic, the phrase maestro only ever refers to one player, Paul McStay. A Celtic captain and midfield star of the 1980s and 1990s, this is his story. The phrase Celtic family is often used to describe different people connected to the club. In Paul McStay's case, it is a literal truth, with numerous family connections tying him to Glasgow's green and white men. His great uncles, Jimmy McStay and Willie McStay, were both Celtic stars across the 1920s and 1930s. And during the World War II years, Jimmy became Celtic manager, replacing legendary boss Willie Mailey. Fast forwarding to the 1980s, the McStay family story was rekindled. As well as Paul playing for Celtic, he did so alongside older brother Willie. In addition, younger brother Raymond was also on Celtic's books. Born in Hamilton in 1964, Paul grew up in Lark Hall, never considered to be the most welcoming of places for Celtic players or fans. However, this did not stop the young Celt from developing into a fine midfield player. Although he would become well known for Celtic, the first occasion when McStay came to public attention was in the dark blue of Scotland. He appeared for his country at various youth levels, but is best remembered for a Wembley trip in 1980. In a game played on live TV and with 70,000 fans in attendance, McStay captained the Scotland Schoolboys team, despite being aged only 15. He put in a wonderful showing, scoring twice, being nominated as Man of the Match, and helping his country claim an impressive 5-4 victory below the famous Twin Towers. Both the Scottish and English press raved about his performance. One English newspaper described him as being groomed for greatness and predicted he would have a very bright future. By the time the London game took place, Paul had already signed for the Celts as an S for him. This match gave notice he would soon hope to show off his undoubted skills in the Celtic team as well. Within 18 months of that game, Paul would follow in his great uncle's footsteps and make his Celtic debut. He did so in January 1982, playing as the Celts easily disposed of Queen of the South in the Scottish Cup. During the remainder of the 1981-82 season, when the boys would finish as league champions thanks to a final day victory, McStay played in various games, including scoring his first goal. This came in a crucial 3-1 win over Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and this was the team who ended the season just 2 points behind Celtic. By the following campaign, it was clear that Paul was now an established first team player. He missed only 2 games as the boys claimed the League Cup, although they lost their title to Dundee United. Throughout the season, McStay had impressed with his work rate and passing, and could also add his name to the score sheet. Whenever there was Celtic success in the 1980s, it was a certainty that Paul McStay would have an important role in these achievements. Whether under the management of Billy McNeil on 2 occasions or David Hay, Paul was a near ever-present, missing only occasional games. Fans from that era will recall that when the team lineups were read before matches at Celtic Park, the phrase, "Number 8, Paul McStay," could simply have been pre-recorded and played each week. Fans will have their own particular memories of him. Perhaps the moment that best encapsulates his on-field vision came in January 1988. In an Old Firm game at Celtic Park, he picked out a remarkable pass that surely no one else on the ground had even seen, which led to a Frank McAvaney goal and a 3-1 win for the Hoops. As a hugely popular player, he was given different nicknames. One of these was, of course, Maestro, celebrating his skills. Less obviously, he was also known as The Hat. There's various theories about why this was, including that he was capped at each level for Scotland, or that he looked like the gangster Jack The Hat McVitie, or simply that his hair looked like one. Of all his wonderful seasons in the 1980s, the Celts' 1987-88 centenary is arguably his finest. As well as helping the club secure a fairy tale league and Scottish Cup double, he was voted Scottish Player of the Year by his fellow professionals and football writers too. It was not simply for Celtic that McStay starred and created important memories. He also did this for Scotland. As well as his 1980s schoolboys appearance, he became a national star, representing the Scotland senior team 76 times from 1983 to 1997, as well as captaining the side. Interestingly, his most notable Scotland moment came when he was still a youth player. In 1982, he was captain as the Scotland youth team won the UEFA European Under-18 Championships. This remains the only major tournament ever won by a Scotland side. In early 1990, Celtic captain Roy Aitken departed Glasgow. This meant a replacement was needed, and so the club turned to their star midfielder Paul McStay. It was a role that his skills certainly warranted, although he was a very different personality from Aitken. Unfortunately, Paul's time as Celtic's on-field leader came as the club fell into a downward spiral. The Celts had stopped a Rangers treble in 1989 by winning the Scottish Cup, but that was the last silverware they would celebrate for 6 years. In fact, during this time, they weren't simply second best, they would finish as low as fifth in the title race. When 1992 came around, it seemed that the unthinkable was going to happen. Paul McStay, a one-club player and Celtic man since the early 1980s, was expected to leave. On the last day of the season, he threw his shirt into the jungle in what looked like a farewell to the supporters. Over the years, he had been linked with various moves to Italy, including Inter Milan and Fiorentina. Now more sides from Italy were mentioned, including Udinese. However, the maestro eventually chose to remain in Glasgow's East End. Celtic's poor performances in the early 1990s came amidst a backdrop of supporter unrest, including boycotts and anti-board campaigns. This would eventually culminate in Fergus McCann's 1994 takeover of the club, which would put Celtic back on the path to the top. This year also saw another small piece of McStay history. It was the only time he saw red in his career. In August, playing against Dundee in the League Cup, Celtic claimed a 2-1 win. But before that happened, Paul was sent off following a clash with Dundee's Dusan Virto, who was also dismissed. Following Fergus McCann's takeover, another popular Celtic midfielder, Tommy Burns, returned to the club as boss. In his first season, he took Celtic to the League Cup final. Playing against First Division side Raith Rovers, it seemed certain that Celtic would end their trophy drought. The match proved to be memorable for all the wrong reasons. Celtic struggled to beat their lower league opponents, with the game ending 2-2 in normal time. Even extra time could not achieve a winner, and so penalties were needed. With Celtic trailing 6-5, the club captain stepped up and missed his penalty, giving the five-side victory. For McStay, this was a terrible moment. He had hoped to finally lift silverware as captain, but instead fell at the most important moment. The fans, though, rallied round their hero. 3 days later, the boys went to Easter Road for a league game. As well as singing McStay's name throughout, fans unveiled a banner beforehand stating, "You'll never walk alone, Paul." By the end of the season, this sad event was well and truly forgotten. The boys reached the Scottish Cup final, and once more they faced lower league opposition in the form of Airdrie. It was yet again a tight match, but a Pierre Van Hooijdonk header ensured that Celtic had their first trophy for 6 years, and McStay lifted his first as captain. At the final whistle, the emotion and delight was clear to see on Paul McStay's face, as well as relief for finally winning silverware. He later remarked that, "The game was 90 minutes long, but for me the game lasted as long as my 5 years as captain and 6 years without a trophy." Unfortunately, this was to prove the only time that Paul McStay led his team to cup success. Later that year, his Celtic commitment was celebrated in a testimonial game in December 1995. On a very foggy night, Manchester United came to Glasgow and returned to England following a 3-1 defeat. Under Tommy Burns, Celtic were playing an exciting brand of attacking football. McStay was an important part of the team. But in the 1996-97 season, it was clear that the realities of age were catching up with Paul. In his seasons at the club, he generally appeared in almost every game, but injury ruled him out of most games in the second half of 1996. Although he played more in early 97, by the end of the season, he had decided that his time in football was over. McStay had sustained an ankle injury, and it had such an effect that he chose to announce he was retiring. It was a sad end to 16 years at Celtic, which had featured some memorable moments and performances. Unlike many former players, retirement did not result in coaching or managerial jobs. Some said that these type of roles simply did not match his relatively quiet personality, which was a criticism he had sometimes received in terms of his time as captain. He eventually built a new life on the other side of the world, moving to Australia with his family. Despite the relatively disappointing end to his playing career, McStay can still look back on a very proud record when wearing the hoops. He scored 72 times for the club across 678 games. In fact, he's joint fourth in Celtic history for scoring in successive seasons, doing so on 16 occasions. He also celebrated different successes with Celtic, especially in the 1980s. He won three leagues, four Scottish Cups and the League Cup. The last of these prizes was as captain in the 1995 Scottish Cup final. Paul McStay was undoubtedly a significant talent, arguably one who was never entirely appreciated by many, especially outside of Celtic. He was sometimes criticised for remaining in Glasgow his whole career and not playing elsewhere. However, others ignore this. Notable players, including Rio Ferdinand, have praised his on-field influence and skill. Since leaving Celtic, he has been back at Celtic Park as an honoured guest at different times. This includes in 2019 when he led out the team before the league trophy presentation, and in 2025 when he unfurled the league flag for the club. Over the years, Celtic have had many fine players, not least midfielders. When it comes to discussions over who would get in an all-time Celtic 11, the fact that Paul McStay's name is regularly suggested as an option is a tribute to his influence and legacy. He was the maestro then, and that remains the case. As long as there's a Celtic, Paul McStay's name will always be associated with that praise and description. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter, X and Blue Sky. You can also learn more about Celtic's history in a free Celtic walking tour. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.